Welcome to Healthy Her, the podcast designed to inspire women to lead lives filled with health and happiness. I'm Dr. Amy Brenner, your host discussing nutrition, hormones, aesthetics, sexual health, and more. Join us each week as we dive into feeling better, looking better, and living better. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Healthy Her. If you've ever struggled with finding answers to your health questions, you're going to want to tune in and hear about our guest and how she navigated our complex health system to get answers. So today we have Stephanie Shaw with us. And Stephanie, first of all, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Amy.
Could you give everybody a little bit of your background?
Sure. So personally, I spent 20 years in corporate America, 10 years running a nonprofit. And right at the end of that nonprofit, my body completely crashed. It was like March 23rd, 2017. And I'm sure during our conversation, I'll go into a little bit more details. But that took me on a two-year journey of learning the importance of being able to advocate for yourself so that you can get the answers that you need. Because I went to 18 different doctors and it was a hot mess there for a while. But once I started speaking up for myself and getting my physicians coordinated, I got some positive outcomes.
Yeah. So you really are the cover story of turning lemons into lemonade. What do you do now?
Exactly. So now I actually help women navigate menopause. So I'm a menopause advocate. I am collecting data and information on menopause care and then sharing that with people who are going and speaking in front of elected officials so that they have the information that they need. So I'm advocating for women's health because during those 18 different doctors, no one mentioned menopause to me. No one mentioned my hormones. That was never a path. And it probably because my symptoms presented differently each time, but I just did not get the answers that I should have gotten earlier. I feel that I should have gotten earlier. And so now that's my role, to try to help women get the information that they need.
All right. Well, let's get into it. So let's start with your story of back in 2017. What was going on?
Yeah. So when I sat back, you know, around 2020 and sat back and really thought about it, this had been a slow progression of stuff. But in March 23rd, 2017, I was on a business trip. I was in New Orleans, stepped my foot on a Bourbon Street. No kidding. Don't even know why I wanted to go there, but we were going there. And I thought I was having a stroke. So my face went numb. My jaw started tingling. My hands and feet were tingling. And that night, I ended up in two different emergency rooms. And that took me on that journey of going to 18 different doctors, not including all the ER visits that I had, two world-renowned medical facilities, and traveling throughout four different states in order to figure out what was going on in my body. And as I said before, I presented differently each time. So sometimes I would have a migraine. Sometimes I would have anxiety. At times I would have like phantom smells, not recognizing where those were coming from, tingling in my hands and feet, rapid heartbeat, twitching eyes. So that meant, you know, if I had twitching eyes, someone would send me to the ophthalmologist. And if my rapid heartbeat, I would go to a cardiologist. So I was just endocrinology because of the tingling hands and feet. So I was just bouncing around and around, and no one kind of put all of this together for me. And at that time, I was Dr. Googling it. I would find bits and pieces, but now it feels like there's so many more people talking about what's going on in women's healthcare. And I'm so excited about that. And that's why I do. That's why I have the podcast. That's why I have these conversations with women like you. You were on my podcast, just so that we can find out more information. But again, through that journey, I ended up finding one practitioner who gave me this survey with, like, I think it was like 80 some questions on it. And I checked about 60 of them, saying that those were the symptoms or the ways that I was feeling. And through the process, I was able to, basically I had to clean my body out. You know, I thought I was eating healthy. I ate as a vegetarian, but I was not getting the proper nutrients in my body. And along with going through perimenopause, it was just making my hormones.
How old were you at the time?
I'm frustrated. Yes. So I turned 50 in 2019. So I was 48 at this time. Yeah. And but had no clue as to what was going on. And that's part of all of these conversations as well, because that wasn't a conversation that happened in my home. My mom never had a hot flash. She to her knowledge, she never had any symptoms. We had a great aunt who would have hot flashes and we would laugh at her kind of thing, like, oh, Nella's having a hot flash. But we never understood the impact that this could have on your body. So again, I was very fortunate that I found someone who kind of pieced everything together for me, or helped me piece everything together. And just with nutrition, exercise, and a ton of mindset work, I was able to get to the other side.
Yeah. So it wasn't your typical perimenopause symptoms of hot flashes, night sweats, vaginal dryness. Like
Yes.
it was some really kind of odd symptoms. What were you diagnosed with along the way until you got an answer?
Yeah. So first of all, I've to this day never been diagnosed with anything at all. No one's ever said, you have XYZ. And then I didn't know how to advocate for myself so I could ask them to do any type of hormone testing, or, I didn't even know, understand, or that that was even available to me. So I've never was diagnosed with anything. But you're right, I had a wide variety of symptoms. And I have a good colleague in Canada, and she's done a ton of research, over six close to 6,000 women. And there's 103 different symptoms out there that women may not be recognizing could be related to. So things like itchy ears, and I mentioned phantom smells. Some women smell gas, some smell electricity. I smelled gas, but I also smelled maple syrup. So while you would think that smelling maple syrup is a good thing, it's just not, because I can't even describe it. But yeah, there's so many different symptoms out there, and understanding that how to piece all of this together. So you can have a conversation with your doctor, because I believe that your doctor wants to help you, but piecing those things together is super important.
Well, what treatments were you given along the way that first it didn't work?
Yeah, so none, because in all honesty, I can barely take a kid's Tylenol. So, half dosage, I'm out for 2 days. So, one, I didn't want to take any treatments, and two, my body does not work with any type of medication at all, over the counter, prescription, what have you. So, because of that, that's one of the reasons that I started researching like more of a functional medicine way of getting to that root cause of what was going on in my body. And honestly, that's what we did. I did supplements, and I just completely changed my eating. Like, I didn't understand my macronutrients. So, you're a woman in your 40s, you want to stay little or thin. You think, oh, no carbs, no fat. Well, you need carbohydrates, you need fat, and you really need protein during this time. So, understanding how to balance my macronutrients, and then because I was eating as a vegetarian, I was missing some micronutrients as well. Again, not understanding, how you can barely get any B12 at all from anything except for a meat product. How are you supplementing, or how are you eating enough food in order to get enough micronutrients for yourself? So instead of going the route of pharmaceuticals or anything, I went the route of, again, just going back to the root of what was going on in my body and using nutrition to heal my body. It took a lot longer. I probably spent way more money because I was still kind of running back and forth to the doctors, not sure if this was going to work. And I felt a little more scattered, probably because, again, it took so long. It probably took me a good 6 to 8 months for me to feel normal again, because on top of it, it was like, we had a couple of things happen in our life between 2014 and 2017. So that March 23rd day not only like triggered something with the hormones in my body, like all of the stress from the past 3 years hit my body at the same time as well. So again, I decided to go the natural route, but it took a lot longer, that route. But I'm happy
Yeah.
I did at this time, at this point.
Sure. A lot of times I hear that from patients of everything was fine until this day. Like, what was it? Was it something in New Orleans? But I'd like to know what your thought is. I don't think it's like that. I kind of look at it as like a glass being full, and then it was getting filled and filled and filled, and then it just got to the point where it overflowed, and then that's why kind of all of a sudden things just like, wait, what's happening here? There's water all over the place. Of what are your thoughts on that? Is I don't think it was just a light switch of one thing that happened.
Yeah, Dr. Amy, I 100% agree with you. And it's because we're not watching that slow drip of water that we get caught with that overflow. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, that day, I was fine. The flight was like one of the best flights I'd ever had. I was having fun. The conference was great. I had one of the best meals I'd ever had. Like, life was good. So I thought. But again, if I sat there, I realized 2014 is when my hair had actually started falling out a little bit, but it wasn't noticeable. No one could see it. I thought I was just getting older. 2014, again, things happened within my family. There was this slow drip, drip, drip. And it just so happened that because I was in New Orleans, I was able to remember the date, but it just so happens that date, it decided that, yeah, we're done. I'm going to turn the faucet on full and we're going to overflow. So you're exactly right. We just, it's so important for us as women to be aware of what is going on. And sometimes we take for granted the fact that we can do it all, be all, that everything is just fine. We'll just shake it off. We'll rest when the kids graduate from high school kind of thing. That does not work. I'm living proof that that does not work. So being aware of what's going on is super important.
Yeah. So was it, did you have to do anything else other than change your diet?
So yes, I actually did. So the primary thing I did was change my diet, doing more intentional types of exercises, so more yoga, more Pilates, like more lengthening of my muscles. That helped a lot. But I also had to have two very adult conversations with two people that were very, very close to me. So my cortisol levels were like on 199 or higher, but I wasn't recognizing that because sometimes when you live in something so long, it becomes your norm. So a lovely woman that I know had never come to my house before, sat down and she point blank said to me, "You need to have a conversation with this person." And I'm like, they don't bother me. And part of my whole journey was journaling. So when I, was thinking about praying about what she said, and I started going back through my journal, I'm like, oh, wait, things spike, or I end up in the ER after a certain type of conversation with this person. So all of it started to piece itself together. And yes, you're exactly right. That's how it got to where it went with me.
Okay, so
Yeah.
you addressed your cortisol and adrenals, which I think is really important of access of hormones to look into that a lot of people overlook.
Yes, exactly. You have to do that. That's super, super important.
Did you also do some gut testing or look at gut health?
Yeah, so part of it was the gut health. We did do a, thank you for saying that. We did do a gut test. I did a Zyto test as well. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's just like a urine test. And so those two things, and I did a hair tissue mineral analysis as well. Those things really helped kind of show where those deficiencies were because every time I did my normal blood work, everything would come back okay. But those tests helped me see that things weren't okay, at least not okay for me. And then I also started looking at year over year, like, oh, last year this was a little higher, or this was a little lower last year. My white blood cells are changing. My, B, C, D are all changing. So all of those things were very helpful to me as well.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of utility of looking at stool, of looking at the microbiome, especially when I hear from patients of some of these non-typical symptoms that you mentioned, like the phantom smells and like when I hear just kind of, okay, this just seems not typical. There's something more to it. It automatically wants as a clinician is to look at adrenals and to look at gut health. And a lot of people think just looking at gut health and the microbiome and how your body is digesting food and acid and the pancreatic enzymes, that it all has to do with GI symptoms. And I didn't hear you really mention constipation, diarrhea, bloating, and people think, oh, well, I don't have any GI symptoms, or I had a colonoscopy and that was normal. But a lot of times when the gut microbiome is kind of messed up, you get a lot of these kind of vague symptoms, and that maybe a lot of doctors kind of said, well, it's all in your head. This, I don't see anything wrong here. I don't know if you got that from any physicians.
I did. So I never, so first of all, where were you back in 2017 when I needed you? But yeah, I never had anyone audibly say that to me, but you could see it in their face. Or I got a couple of, oh, you're just getting a little bit older, or things like that. So that brush off became something that I refused to tolerate after a while. I'm like, no, here's the paperwork. I'm traveling with my package. I'm showing you what is going on. I am not imagining this. I'm really sick. So yeah, it took a lot of fighting, but it was worth
Yeah.
it in the end. Yeah.
So you brought up the word self-advocacy. What do you mean by that? And what advice can you give patients of when you're not getting the answers that you're looking for?
Yeah, so again, just advocating for yourself. So there's a couple of different things that I always advise people to do. Prepare before you go into the office. You guys only have a certain amount of time. A physician has a certain amount of time that they can have with each patient. And the more I talk to physicians and are talking to physicians, the more prepared the patient comes in, the better that conversation will go, because you're also trying to solve this puzzle for us. And if we can give you a couple extra pieces, then that helps you solve the puzzle. So being prepared is journaling, writing down anything that you're eating perhaps before, because it may be a trigger that you don't even recognize, and your physician can help you put that together. So come prepared to the doctor's office, and then be assertive. So at least me and the people that I know and I've talked to, we're kind of trained that because of the education level of the doctor, they're in the room, they know what right end of sentence. But part of that is we need to have the confidence to say, we totally respect this, but this is really what I'm feeling, because you know yourself. This is what I'm feeling. Can you help me understand why I'm feeling this and what steps I need to take? So being assertive. Take notes while you're in a doctor office. One thing that I found in this, it happened once or twice, and then when it happened the third or fourth time, I'm like, wait a minute. So who the person, the intake person, would often ignore the fact that I took supplements. And that's super important, because what if I would have had to take a medication or had to have had a surgery? Those supplements can interfere. So reading the notes and the information that the doctor provides as well. And then if you're not comfortable in this, bring someone to the appointment with you. So there was a point where I talk myself to death. And I, at a point, I really did. I'm like, okay, I'm just crazy. I'm losing my mind. I'm over this. This is how I'm going to be for the rest of my life. And I had someone come with me just as a emotional support. And even though I was taking notes, my brain fog was at 10 plus. So they could help me be more assertive. They could help me feel more confident. And they were also help me remember what I wanted to say to the doctor at that time. Ask questions, keep records. I always do my own year-over-year comparison, and what I don't understand, I will ask the doctor to tell me. And then if it calls for a second opinion, I went to 18 doctors, 18 different doctors, go and get a second opinion. Again, it's not showing any disrespect. It's just, in my mind, it's showing that there's something going on in your body, so you have to take care of that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more as far as being prepared. I see a lot of patients who come in and, it says on the appointment thing, so and so is here for second opinion, and they want a second opinion, but they come in and be like, well, I want a second opinion on my ultrasound that I had, or my MRI, or I want my this second opinion on I saw this doctor, but they don't bring any records. Or people automatically think, because a lot of hospital systems or hospital-owned physicians are under the same electronic medical record. And people think like I have access to all of their medical records, like kind of my chart. Oh, well, I thought you can get in my chart. All my other doctors are on my chart. And people are just unprepared. So I think I love giving the advice of being prepared for the appointment. The one thing I want to bring up though is, not every doctor has all of the tools. So I think a lot of traditional OBGYNs are busy doing babies and they don't know, they don't offer gut testing. They don't offer cortisol testing, so you're not going to get offered that kind of therapy of so also really doing some research on the physician that you're seeing of what services do they do? I don't know
Yeah,
if you have any thoughts on that is.
I do. I love that you said that, and I have to make a note and remember to say that next time because I think that's really important because, as you said, they're trained more in obstetrics versus the gynecology, specifically the menopause part. But a lot of times, you will hear, "We can't give you that test," or "That test is just one moment in time, and it's not really that important." And I'm telling you, those types of testing saved me. I needed to know what was going on in my body. And I needed to, if I had to keep taking a test out of pocket, that was fine because I needed to understand what was going on. So yes, doing your research is really important. There are so many, I'm starting to find so many gynecologists who, as they're beginning to mature, they're going back and getting that functional medicine training, or they're focusing more on menopause and they're understanding the test. I believe it was you that said on the podcast that a lot of times the tests aren't offered because people don't understand how to read the test. I don't know if that was you or not that said that.
Well, yeah, I think that's true. I mean, even myself, I don't order tests that I don't know how to interpret the results, or I'm not going to do anything with the results. So, for instance, you talked about hair analysis. I fully believe in heavy metal toxicity and chelation, but I don't do that in my practice. So, I don't order those kinds of tests. But occasionally, I might see a patient where I've exhausted all of the things that I have in my practice and need to be referred to practitioners that offer those kinds of services.
Yeah. And I think that's key to that. So for me, that is like the best doctor ever. And I will stick with you through thick and thin if you say that you're going to recommend me to someone else, because that takes everything off the table. And I know that you're looking out for me. I'll come back to you, but maybe I do need to go to someone else for a period of time, someone that's specializes in exactly what's going on in my body. So I think that's really important too, finding someone who will refer out. I think it's is really a key as well.
Yeah. Any last minute advice for people that are going through these health challenges and have hit as many stumbling blocks as you have along the way?
Yeah, just know that there is a path out and that you are in control of your health. Make sure that you are advocating for yourself. Be confident when you walk into that doctor's office and come prepared.
Thank you so much. Stephanie, where can people find you?
Yeah, they can find me at hellohotflash.com, and on the website is all of my other information as well.
Thank you so much for joining us. I think you gave a lot of people a lot of inspiration and that you can advocate for yourself and you don't have to accept that this is just what it is when you get older.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Healthy Her. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a quick 5-star review on your podcast platform. Your feedback means the world to us and helps others discover our show. Do you have questions or want to discuss a particular topic? You can reach us by emailing ask@dramiebrenner.com or calling 513-204-8403 and leaving a voicemail. We might feature your question or comment in an upcoming episode, so don't miss out on the chance to be a part of the conversation. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes. We appreciate your support and can't wait to have you back with us next time. Take care and remember, your healthy her journey begins with you. This podcast is for general information only and does not constitute medical advice, the practice of medicine, nursing, or other healthcare services. No patient-physician relationship is formed. The information in the podcast and any references, material, or links are at the sole discretion of the listener and not meant to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Listeners should not delay or disregard obtaining medical advice for any medical diagnosis or issues that they may have and should seek medical care or advice from their healthcare provider for any such conditions.